Scripture reading this morning is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. It's a long passage of two or three chapters where Jesus is walking with the disciples through Jerusalem, and they're asking questions about the fulfillment of the kingdom. And he's been talking to them about the kingdom all along, but they're getting more excited about maybe the fulfillment of the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe that's going to happen real soon. And so they ask some questions along those lines. And Jesus answers their questions. And sometimes he answers them with a parable, which is a way to get the truth across in ways that make some sense. Because when we think about heaven and we think about all the God's plan and his will and so on, so it's sometimes hard for our imaginations to grasp that. And so Jesus speaks to them in parables. Here's one of those parables that Jesus is talking about in answer to the disciples' questions about when's all this going to happen? Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the word of God for the people of God. So I know what it sounds like in this passage of Scripture. But I promise you, this is not an episode of The Bachelor. I remember several years ago, it was the day after Valentine's Day, and Becky and I were at church along with just two other people. There were four of us there at church, and we were getting ready for a meeting for the next day. And Becky and I drove separately because we arrived at the church at different times. And that evening, I finished up what I needed to do before she was finished, so I went ahead and started to head home. But all evening long, it had been spitting snow and frozen precipitation, and so when I went out to get into my car, it was just a mess, and I had to scrape the windshield. And so I got my scraper out, and this wasn't just a nice, light, fluffy snow where you could just dust it off. This had ice adhered to every window of the car, and so I'm scraping and scraping and scraping and cleaning my car off, and I finally finish, and I was getting ready to get in and head out, and then I noticed Becky's car was the same way. And I suppose even though it's the day after Valentine's Day, she's still my Valentine, so I said, I'll just scrape her car off too. So I took another extra 5 minutes and scraped all the windows off of her car. And then next to her car was one of the people that was helping us. Okay, so I'll scrape his car too. So I went and scraped his car, and then there was the fourth person's car was there, and so I went ahead and scraped all the windshields, all the back windows, all the side windows, got them all scraped off for everybody. And then I remember thinking, man, this love one another stuff is hard. You know, couples fall in love, and if that love leads them to marriage, then they make promises to each other. And we call those promises our marriage vows. Do you promise to love him, comfort him, honor him, and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to him as long as you both shall live. Do you promise to love her, comfort her, honor her, keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to her as long as you both shall live? I do. I do. But that's hard. That's not easy. It's hard to be faithful your whole life as long as you both shall live. It's hard to be faithful. It's so hard that in most marriages, some unfaithfulness creeps in along the ways to some degree or another, and promises aren't kept, and marriage vows are broken. Thank goodness for marriages that are full of grace and forgiveness. Lots of things in life are hard. Even faith is hard. Last week we looked at Matthew chapter 14 where Peter walked on water. Can you think of anything harder to do than walk on water? Anybody ever done that before? Yeah. That's hard. And yet Peter gets out of the boat in the middle of the lake and he walks on the water to Jesus. And then he stumbles a little bit. He needs Jesus' help. Jesus catches him, picks him up. Peter's hardly wet. I mean, he probably didn't get wet above the ankles. And yet Jesus says to him, "O ye of little faith." Wait, what? Peter just walked on water. And Jesus said, "Where's your faith?" Well, this faith thing must be hard. Believing is easy. Okay, for God so loved the world. That's easy to believe. The other 11 disciples who stayed in the boat when Peter and Jesus climbed in the boat, they worshiped Jesus. "You are the Messiah, you're the Christ, you're the Son of God." Well, that's easy. Easy to believe, but it's hard to act on what we believe. It's hard to live out what we believe. Believing is easy, but faith, living out what we believe, that's hard. Believing is not the same thing as having faith. The two are different. One is about accepting the truth. That's believing. I believe that. Accept the truth. The other is about applying that truth, applying it to who we are, applying it to how we live, applying it to our relationships that we have with others. Accepting is easy, applying is hard. When you think about what's involved in our faith, you think about staying faithful as long as we live, staying obedient, persevering through tough times. When you think about what's involved with faith, you think about changing, you think about repenting. You think about, well, I was going to do that, but you know, I don't know that that's the right thing for me. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to change course. I'm going to repent. We think about surrender. We think about making sacrifices for the sake of the gospel. We think about suffering for righteousness. We think about being holy, being like Jesus. We think about believing the unbelievable, understanding that there may be some questions that we have about life that just won't be answered. And so this summer, we're going to take a close look at what makes living out our, what we believe, what makes our faith hard along some of these lines that we've just mentioned. The good news is that in Scripture, God shows us a pattern. Shows us a pattern that helps us identify the things that are hard about our life and then what we can do to overcome those obstacles. In this parable about the 10 virgins, Jesus is using the story of how these bridesmaids, these women, young women who were, you know, excited about this upcoming wedding, were waiting for the bridegroom to show up because that's what got the party started when the groom showed up. And the point of the parable, which is a point that is made throughout Scripture, is that faith is about hanging in there. Faith is about not giving up. Faith is about persevering. Faith is being smart about the steps that you take in your life of faith. Sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we have to persevere under difficult situations. Sometimes we have to be patient. Sometimes we have to stay faithful even when it's hard. So how do we do that? How do we stay faithful? Well, there's a pattern. A pattern that we see in this passage of Scripture. It's the same pattern that we saw in Matthew 14 when Jesus called Peter out of the boat and Peter walked on the water. If you remember, that pattern had to do with affirmation and hesitation and invitation and action. And then finally that trepidation or that adventure that we join in. So affirmation, hesitation, invitation, action. That seems like you could make some kind of ditty out of that, couldn't you? Affirmation, hesitation, invitation, action. You think the musicians could think of something to, some tune to put that to? Anyway, that's the pattern. And it showed up last week. It shows up again this week. Look at what happens. This is a parable that Jesus uses to help us grasp this amazing idea about the kingdom come. And the setting is, the illustration he uses is around a wedding. And a wedding is about celebrating two people's love for one another. And so the affirmation here, Jesus is saying, hey, God loves you. This coming of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven is about love. In several places in this New Testament, we find Jesus referred to as the groom and the church referred to as his bride. You remember that picture in Revelation, the end of Revelation? Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And then the hallelujah chorus, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. The truth is, the affirmation is, God loves us. He's proposed marriage. We are betrothed eternally. We have the ring. We wear the diamond. It's in the shape of a cross. We're engaged. With Peter walking on the water, that affirmation, that truth was, God is with us. He's not going to leave us alone. He's with us. And here, the truth is, the affirmation is, God loves us. And when we're struggling to stay faithful, when we're struggling to endure, when we're struggling to persevere, what better affirmation is there than to remember, God loves me? I don't know, do you have a go-to tune in your head for tough times that helps you connect with God? I don't know, maybe it's Amazing Grace or How Great Thou Art or As the Deer. Is there some tune that just kind of jumps in your head when things get tough? I hope there is. I know there is for me. And I probably hum this or over my head, whether it's out loud or not, but it's going over and over my head at least a half a dozen times a day. It's Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. I know it sounds kind of silly and simple, but of all the other songs that are out there, but that one just helps me remember God loves me. And if you're having trouble maybe picking up a song because your spirit isn't quite there, pick up God's love letter to us. There's a whole big thick book called the Bible, which is God's love letter to us. In it, he tells us how much he loves us. You could read about any page in here, and you'll get the idea that God loves his people. That's the affirmation. The hesitation, just like with Peter walking on the water, there was some thing that kind of held him back. And this hesitation is about how tough it can be to continue to persevere and to hang on. Matthew 22, just a couple of chapters before what we read in Matthew 25, Jesus says this: the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. There's that wedding motif again. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. They made excuses. I can't be there because of this or that or the other. This setting, Matthew 22 and Matthew 25, is this idea of marriage. And it's a huge commitment, if you think about it. A huge commitment to stay faithful to one another as long as you both shall live. The question when it comes to our faith is, will we stay true to Jesus as not only as long as we shall live, because it goes beyond as long as we shall live. This idea is that death will not do us part in our relationship with Jesus. So perseverance is required, and that's what makes it hard. And that's what makes some people hesitate. Obedience is required over the long haul. That comes up in this parable, verse 5. And the bridegroom was delayed. He didn't show up quite exactly when everybody was hoping he would. Nothing worse than a groom showing up late, except maybe for the bride showing up late. I actually had that happen one time. I met with a couple several times ahead of the wedding day. We talked a lot about the wedding ceremony, talked about the vows, talked about what marriage is all about, talked about their relationship. The night before the wedding, we had a rehearsal. Everybody was there. Everything went off really smooth. We come to the wedding day. Everybody's in place. Everybody's there just like they should be, except the bride. This was before cell phones. Nobody knew exactly where the bride was, except the mother of the bride wasn't there either, and so we kind of had a feeling they were together, which happened to be, I guess, a good thing, because 10 minutes after the wedding was supposed to start, not 10 minutes after everybody was supposed to be there, 10 minutes after the wedding was supposed to start, the bride shows up. She bursts into the building, into the sanctuary, barefoot, running up the aisle. No apology, just, I'm here. Yeah, it can be nerve-wracking. Never did get to find out why she was late. But in those 10 minutes that we waited on her, a lot of people thought about, maybe this is too hard. Maybe she changed her mind. Maybe she got cold feet. Some people feel that way about living out their faith, living out what they believe, living out their faith in Christ is hard. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait for the Lord. If you're good at waiting, talk to me. I need some help. I'm not good at waiting. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. It's the affirmation that God loves us. There's a hesitation. We know it's tough to hang in there. And then there's the invitation. At midnight, verse 6, the cry went out. He's here. The bridegroom has come. Come on out to meet him. And it wasn't a command. The groom wasn't twisting anybody's arms to make them be a part of the wedding party. There was not a call to follow an intense set of moral regulations. Instead, an invitation was given. Revelation 19, in that wedding feast of the Lamb, that picture is, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. He gives us an invitation to enter into a relationship. He's proposing marriage, and we either accept it or we don't. And so in the pattern for overcoming whatever obstacles are to this hard faith, part of it is the invitation where we have a choice. Every invitation is an opportunity for choice to accept it or not. And so we have a choice, and we need to act upon that choice. The groom's here. The party's starting. It's time to go. Come out and meet it. And choices come our way every day, don't they? Choices about how do I follow Jesus in this matter? In this choice that I'm making, what's going to honor God the most? We have choices every day along those lines. That's an invitation to us to stay faithful. And that sometimes that everyday piece of staying faithful is what's tough. Reminded of the little preschooler. Came home after preschool one day and his mommy was there. How did things go? And his little lower lip was trembling and the tears welling up in his eyes. And she said, well, what happened today? And he said, I learned to tie my shoes. She thought that was a victory because they'd been working on that for such a long time. I thought you wanted to learn how to tie your shoes. I do. Well, what's the problem? I have to do it every day. Yeah, this idea of staying faithful is about every day walking as a follower of Jesus. Affirmation, hesitation, invitation, and then there's action. And the action required for staying faithful, we find it in verse 10. Those who were ready went with him. That's the key. Those who were ready went with the groom. Revelation 19 puts it this way, for the bride has made herself ready. To persevere, to stick with it, to hang in there, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. The key to staying faithful in the long run is to be ready to meet Jesus face to face. Back to Revelation 19, for the bride has made herself ready. And the next verse says, fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. And then in parentheses in the scriptures, it says, fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. This is how we get prepared, righteous acts. We know the right thing to do, and we do the right thing. God's holy people, we are committed to being like Jesus, living like Jesus, relating to others like Jesus. Holy people. Righteousness and holiness. And that is an everyday, ongoing, faithful to him as long as we live, piece of our faith. But it's the key to overcoming. It's the key to persevering. It's the key to enduring. It's the key to being able to wait on the Lord. Faith's not a one-night stand. It requires a long-term commitment, which requires preparation. And when Jesus comes back, it's over. When our number is up in this life and we die, that we're out of time to prepare. And that's what Jesus was trying to say when he was contrasting the wise ones with the foolish ones. The wise ones were the ones that were prepared. The foolish ones were not. It's important to keep oil in your lamp. Oil, the fuel that keeps the fire lit. We in modern day example might be it's important to keep gas in your tank. Ever run out of gas? You know how frustrating that is and how problematic that is. We bring it a step further into the 21st century. It's in, It's important to keep your batteries charged. And spiritually, we need to plug in to things that do that. We plug into reading the scripture. We plug into prayer. We plug into worship. We plug into fellowship. We plug into the things that keep our batteries charged. Affirmation, God loves us. Hesitation, it's hard to hang in there. Invitation, so come. Come and connect. And that action is stay connected, plug in. But that leads us to an adventure. That leads us, when we step out in action, that can be a time of risk. Be a time of danger. It can bring fear when we step into action that way. And that's that final word that Jesus gives in this parable. He says, therefore, keep watch. The others who were foolish went and found some oil, but it was too late. Later, the others came, Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. So they knocked on the door, and the reply came, I don't know you. Therefore, Jesus says, keep watch. Stay on your toes. Stay connected. Faith is hard, partly because we have to hang in there. And our journey can be difficult. There can be risks, dangers all along our path. And to persevere, it's important to be prepared. Zach Porter, 20-year-old from Illinois. Back at the end of May, went hiking with his friends in Alaska. Once in a lifetime opportunity. They were hiking near Hope, Alaska, which is just about 20 miles from Anchorage. And as they were along the path, they came across a small bay where the tide had gone out, and there was kind of a shortcut that could be taken across the mud flats there. And there were warning signs about not going in that direction because it can be dangerous. But they all decided the tide was out. It looked like a clear, flat path to where they were going. Let's take the shortcut. And they did, except Zach got stuck in the mud. And so his friends were there helping him the best they could, but they couldn't unstick him. And so they had their cell phones and they called for help and the emergency people showed up. But by this time, the tide had started coming back in. It was harder to get to him. His stuckness was worse because of the tide. And even though the rescuers did all that they could not save him. They could not get him out of the mud. And he drowned. He was the fourth person in the last few years to drown along that same path. It's a sad story, but it's a reminder to us that faith is not about taking shortcuts. Faith is a marathon. It's for the long haul. And it can be hard to hang in there. But it's important to choose our path wisely. Shortcuts in our relationship with Jesus are often dangerous. And so dangerous that they can cut short our path to eternity. Cut off our path to eternity. Therefore, Jesus would say, keep watch, stay alert, be prepared. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Loving and holy God, we thank you today for sobering truth about how important it is to hang in there. We know it's hard. We don't need to be told that. What we do need is help with persevering. And this morning you've given us a key to that, and that is to be prepared. And so we ask that you not only remind us today, but encourage us, convict us of the need to stay plugged in, to pay attention to any warning signs there might be along the path, and to avoid temptation. We so want to follow that prescription in Psalm 27, to wait for you, to wait on the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. That's our heart's desire today. And we pray, Lord, that you help us in that part of our faith. Grateful for your truth, the truth that sets us free, the truth that unsticks us and lets us enjoy the journey. We pray that we can continue to walk day by day faithfully with you. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.